God. Hallelujah. Y'all be seated. Hallelujah. I want to do holy, holy. As it says in the Old Testament, give the Lord a wave offering. Hallelujah. Hi, Lord. Give the Lord a wave offering. Praise God. Hallelujah. They used in the Old Testament give heave offerings. I look around at some of you and I don't think I could heave some of you. Praise the Lord. If you love them, say amen. Yeah, I was sitting in the trailer thinking and I was praying. Lord, what message should I bring tonight? What's the message that you'd have me to bring? And all I can get, and all I kept getting over and over and over, is something that Peter said in 2 Peter. And that was that we should contend for the faith that was once preached to the saints. To contend for the faith. And I look at that verse and I think of it and I say, what is that faith? What was that faith that was once preached to the saints? And that Peter had said that many had come in unawares, had come into the church unawares. They had perverted God's word and they destroyed it. They had just stepped all over it. And I look around the world today and I see the same thing. And our message has been, and will continue to be for a while, that contend for the faith that was once preached first here. Because before we're any good out there, we got to get it right here. I think today I've looked around, I've been all over this country, and I've been down in different parts of this New England and all, and I look around and people are looking. People are looking today for something. And they're not going to this to find it. They're going to drugs. They're going to alcohol. They're going to rock concerts. They're going to witchcraft. They're going to spiritualism. And they're going to all kinds of things. But they're not coming to this. And the only thing I can come up with is just because the people that say they believe this won't do it. They don't have the courage, the strength, or the faith. It always gets me. Now, I don't talk about these people out here. That's not my job. But as a watchman of God, I will talk about the people in here. And I will talk about those who profess to know Jesus Christ and those who claim to believe in God. I look at the churches today and I say, my Lord, how long can you hold back? Jesus said, ye are the salt of the earth. Wherefore, salt has lost its savor. It's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. And one of the jobs of salt is to hold back corruption. And that's something the church is not doing today. Corruption isn't getting smaller. It's getting greater. It's not being held back. It's growing. And it's growing in leaps and bounds. 10 years ago, 20 years ago, this was a different country. I mean, you don't even have to go into the rest of the world. Just look in your own backyard. 20, 25 years ago, a homosexual would not be permitted to teach in a public school system. If he were found out, he would be cast out. Today, they are protected. And not only are they protected, they're applauded as an alternate lifestyle. in my father's time and my father's time before him, men had somehow more common sense than they do today. They had more common sense. You look at a homosexual and you knew that was something not natural. It wasn't natural. Today, they're saying, oh, but it is natural. He was born that way. No, they weren't born that way. God never made anybody that way. What happened to the faith that was once preached? What happened to the faith that was once preached where Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is delivered unto me by my Father, and whatsoever things you ask of me, I will do them unto you. Whatever happened to that faith? Whatever happened to the faith where the Word of God says, put on the whole armor of God. Be a soldier. And today they're teaching, put on a wedding gown and be a bride. What's happened to the church and what's happened to the faith? I don't understand except to know that the Word of God says that many would come in unawares. Jesus said to the disciples coming out of the temple, he said, beware, take heed lest any man should deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, but they shall deceive many. And we look at people today and we say, are they concerned about the guy coming along saying, I'm Jesus Christ? Well, you don't even pay any attention to that idiot. If a guy were to come in here today and say, I'm Jesus Christ, bow down and worship me, you'd either kick him in the butt or laugh him out of the place. Amen. I remember time Brother Keith and I heard about some guy over in Annapolis, Maryland that called himself Jesus Christ, so we went over to visit Jesus. We decided, let's go visit this guy. And we went over there, knocked on the door, and this big old guy comes to the door. He said, what do you want? I said, I'm here to visit Jesus. And he said, well, Jesus is praying right now. Well, can't you interrupt him? And then I asked the guy, well, how does Jesus pray? To himself? I could just kind of picture that. Dear selfeth, I cometh before meeth, and prayeth to myselfeth. And the guy got a little upset about that. And he said, well, the Lord can't be disturbed. I said, go disturb him. Tell him a couple of his preachers are out here and want to see him. I mean, you know, we preached our whole lives for him. Least he can do is take a couple minutes out of his day for us, you know. And he said, oh, we can't do that because he can't meet strangers. And I said, well, why not? He said, because people are out there to kill him. I said, well, you don't have to tell him. He don't have to worry about anybody killing him. He said, what do you mean? I said, he's already died once. You can't kill him twice. I mean, if he's Jesus Christ, he's already dead. How can you kill him again? He's resurrected in a glorified body. And the guy looked at me like weird. I said, I'll tell you what. Take a knife. Go cut him. If he bleeds, he ain't Jesus. What do you mean? I said, Jesus Christ died on the cross. He shed his blood on the cross. And when he appeared to the disciples, he said, flesh and bone. He didn't have any more blood. It was poured out on the altar for our sins. It's easy to spot those guys. It's easy to spot them. But you know the ones that are dangerous? The ones that come in saying, the Lord has sent me, and Jesus is the Christ, and I'm a Christian, and I believe in His Word. And then they begin to preach things that are contrary to God's Word. They demiracleize God's Word. They take away the power of God's Word. They take away the power of godliness. What is godliness? Paul said that one of the signs of the latter times, the latter days, will be that these men will have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power of godliness. What is godliness? Godliness is a very simple thing. Very simple. Godliness is believing God. That's what it is. Godliness is to believe God. Because if you believe God, then you will do as God says. Amen. That's very simple. Man comes to work for me. I say, you come to work for me, I'll pay you this much money. The man comes to work. Why? Because he believes I'm going to pay him that much money. Jimmy Townsend, guy comes to work for you. You say, I'll pay you $10 an hour. And they probably wish. Three, huh? All right. Guy comes to work for you. You say you'll pay him $3 an hour. All right. And he accepts it. He believes you. So he puts in a week's work, works 40 hours. At the end of that week, he expects to get paid. He expects to get his $3 an hour times 40. How much? $120. Well, I wouldn't work for you, Jim. I'll tell you right now. Amen. Anyway, he expects to get his $120. And he comes in there and Jim says, nah, I ain't going to pay you. I ain't going to pay you. Now, that guy, what is he going to do? He's going to say, well, that's okay, Jimmy, I understand. Can I work another week? Now, is that the way it works in the world? Not always. Huh? Not always. You always end up with a guy like Ralph, right? Yeah. I'm going to have to pick on somebody else in my service because Jimmy just does not cooperate. Hallelujah. Love the Lord. Say amen. Truth of the matter is, a man comes to my place to go to work, and I say, I'll pay you $10 an hour, because I'm better than Jimmy. I believe in paying a man more than he's worth. I pay Jimmy $2.50. Man comes to my place of business, and I say, I'll pay you $10 an hour. And he comes to my place of business, he goes to work for me, expecting to get paid. And if I don't pay him, he's going to be one upset individual. In fact, he's not going to believe me anymore. He won't work for me anymore. And he'll probably go off to some lawyer or government agent and report me and try to get some of me in all kinds of trouble. Amen. And you know what? Ain't nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But isn't it strange how man can come to man and expect full payment, full wages. And yet when God says that the wages of sin is death, they can go out and sin and not expect to get death. Isn't that amazing? Now believe a man before they'll believe God. Isn't that something? God says in His Word, the wages of sin is death. It's your wage. You sin, you die. That's your payment. But the Word of God also says that obedience and faith in Jesus Christ is eternal life. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd rather get the eternal life. I'd rather have the eternal life. And yet, I'll go to a man. If he hires me, I'll work for him. If he doesn't pay me, I won't work for him. And yet human nature is to go out and do, hear God say, the wages of sin are death, go out and sin, and not expect to get paid. Isn't man a funny creature? Isn't man a funny creature? Another thing about man, I find it so strange. If I go to my attorney and say, my attorney, I want you to go out and do this thing for me. And my attorney says, yes, I can do that. Yes, there's no problem. I can do that. I can handle that. And he goes forth and he does not handle it. I won't hire that attorney again. I won't hire that attorney again. I'll go find me one that can do what he says he can do. Amen. And yet, they'll go to, hear the way I say this now. They'll go to Lord Satan. And he never delivers on his promises. And they'll keep going back for more and more and more and more. Because Satan is the god of this world. And he is a liar. He is a thief and he is a liar and he deceives. And yet the living God, the true God, is passed by. Am I crazy or is there something wrong with this picture? Or could it be that people don't go to the living true God because there's nobody showing him to the people? Jesus came down to this earth, born of a virgin, took on the form of a man, lived as a man without sin, died for us, was resurrected on the third day, bodily, taken up to heaven. Then, those that he had chosen to carry on his work, he anointed them with the same Holy Spirit that he was anointed with. The same Holy Spirit that he was anointed with in the River Jordan, he anointed them with it. He said, now you go out there and you make disciples of all nations. And they went forth. And they did the same things that Jesus did. They preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. They preached the kingdom of heaven. They healed the sick. They raised the dead. They cast out devils. And many believed. Even when they went into, when Philip went down to Samaria and preached to the Samaritans, the local witch doctor down there that had all the people bamboozled was amazed. And he became a believer also. Then Peter and John went down and they laid hands on them that they would receive the Holy Ghost. And they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And this was the gospel. This was the word that was preached. This was the faith that was preached to the original church. And yet Peter writes that, or Jude writes that it's slipping away. That people had come in and perverted and taken away and lightened it to the point that there was a danger of losing it altogether. And you know, I think it's almost happened. I believe today that God is calling for some men, and that's not an affront to women. I believe God's calling women too, but I believe God is calling for some men that will have the courage to say, Lord, here am I. Put your mantle on me, and I'll go forth in your name. I look back in my scriptures, I look at Joshua, when God called Joshua. He told Joshua, I'll be with you just like I was with Moses. Everything I did for Moses, I'll do for you. Only be strong and of a good courage. When Joshua was ready to tell the people to go forth across the river, the people said, whatsoever you say and wheresoever you send us, we'll do. As we obeyed Moses, we'll obey you. Only God be with you. The Lord be with you. And be strong and of a good courage. God is looking for a few men who will say, Lord, be with me, as you were with Moses, as you were with Joshua, as you were with Jesus, as you were with Peter, as you were with John, Paul. But you know what? He's got to find the men that'll believe like they did. And in order to do that, in order to believe, as Paul believed, as Peter believed, as John believed, as Luke, and all the other witnesses that we have, you first have to contend for the faith here. You first have to fight through and battle doubt, disbelief, rebellion. Yes, rebellion. Call it what you want. It is rebellion that keeps us from following God. Not unbelief. I've had many people come to me and said, well, I don't understand this and I don't understand that. And until I understand it, I can't believe it. And that's hogwash. I know people that drive around in automobiles. They've got no idea how that thing operates. I've known men. When I met Steve, he didn't even know where the oil went in a car. If his oil light come on, he wouldn't know what to do about it. But he'd get in that car and drive it. And if the water light, temperature light come on in a car, he's just as likely to go look in the trunk for the radiator as he would in the front. He had no idea where anything was. He had no concept how a car worked. Am I exaggerating too much, or am I telling pretty much the truth? Pretty much the truth. That's right. You knew the radiator was in the front, right? Oh. We love the Lord. Say amen. But I know people that go around, they do things, they don't understand how they work. I know people that can play electronic keyboards that have no idea how they work, but they can play them. I know people that can use microphones. They have no idea how a PA system works, but they can use it. I know people that use tools, and they don't understand all the physics and all the stuff that goes behind how they operate, but they use them. So when a man comes to me and says, well, I don't understand this book. I don't understand God. I don't understand this. I don't understand that. And until I do, I can't do these things. That man is just deceiving himself. The truth of the matter is he doesn't want to do those things. He doesn't want to do them. He doesn't want to inconvenience himself. He doesn't want to be accountable to a God that made him. And it's not just people out there, it's people in the church. People in the church don't want to be accountable. They don't want to be accountable to each other. They don't want to be accountable to pastors. They don't want to be accountable to God. They don't want to be accountable to wives, husbands. They want to do their thing. And they want everybody in the world to make them feel good. And this is something that is normal. It is something that is human. It is something that is natural. It came on man when man rebelled against God in the Garden of Eden. And it's something that man has been doing ever since. But every now and then, God finds a man like he found Abraham who will stop and say, there is a God and I want to know him. And when God finds that man or that woman, God will always reveal himself to them. And God will always show them the truth. When that man or woman starts walking in that truth, then God will put his spirit upon them. And they will go forth and they will preach that truth. And it is natural. It is natural. Somebody said to me one day, he said, Richard, why don't you stop preaching? I said, it would be easier for me to stop eating. It would be easier for me to stop going to the bathroom than it would to stop preaching. I've even said a few times, I told God, Lord, I love you, but I ain't going to preach no more because I don't like those people you send me to. I don't like them. And those people you call Christians, I don't want nothing to do with them. I don't want nothing to do with them. So I'm going to quit preaching. And I quit the ministry and I went off and got myself in a bar. And the first bar I went to, I got down and I ordered me a Jack Daniel's Black in a tall glass, and I started swigging on it. Some guys come over to me and started talking to me. Next thing I knew, I was preaching to him. I was preaching to him. Got myself so mad I couldn't see straight, so I left that bar. And I decided I'd go to a better bar. So instead of going to just an old drunk bar, I went out to a topless bar. Went out to a topless bar. This old topless dancer comes over there, and she says, can I dance on your table? And out of my mouth, I started preaching to her. I started preaching to this girl. I got mad. Here, I was that in my mind to make time with her and maybe get a date. And instead, I preached to her. She quit the job and went off somewhere and then wouldn't have anything to do with me because I was dirty old drunk. Well, praise God. But I tried. I tried for 2 years to quit preaching it. And everywhere I went and everything I did, I ended up preaching. I ended up preaching to people. Finally, I said, okay, Lord, I give up. the Lord called me back in. But that's what it's all about. It's giving your life to the Lord and leaving it there. Just leaving it there. You don't want to be an Indian giver. I had a guy was telling me the other night, and I said it last night, but I say it again. It was really interesting. He gave his wife an engagement ring before they got married, and they got married. Then after a couple of years, she decided she doesn't want to be married anymore, so she tells him, I'm going to go find me another boyfriend or something. So he says, give me back my ring. She said, well, you're an Indian giver. You gave me that ring. And he said, but you gave me your life. And now you're taking it back. What does that make you? And boy, I tell you, I heard that and something went through me. And I went off and I prayed about it and I got to thinking about it. And how many people give Jesus their life? And the first time things don't go right. First time things aren't just exactly the way they like them, or the first time they get their feelings hurt, or the first time somebody disappoints them, they blame God, take their life back, and go off and do their own thing. I wonder how many times God is blamed for something he didn't do. Some I've said in the ministry for years, if anything goes wrong, if anything's screwed up, blame me. If anything is right, if anything is good, blame the Lord. Because if there's any possible way I can mess a thing up, I will mess it up. If there's any possible way I can screw a thing up, I will screw it up. But if there is anyone capable of straightening it out, if there is anyone capable of redeeming it, if there is anyone capable of making it right, it's Jesus. King Jesus is able to redeem even my life, even my past, even Bill Peterson. Everybody. I told people one day, Bill came to me years ago, and I told him, I said, you're just an old junk vehicle that's got to be rebuilt. You're just going to be a salvaged car, just like an old salvaged car. Find a car out in an old junkyard somewhere, somebody's backyard, it's all rusted, it's going bad. What do? Let it stay there and rust? Or let's... Somebody sees value in it. He grabs that old thing. He says, come with me. He takes it and he takes all the rust off and he starts restoring it and brings it back to its original beauty. Now he says, look, isn't this a beautiful thing that I've got? It's a beautiful thing. Amen. That's what God's in the business in. God's a recycler. He's in the recycle business. He takes old used up pieces of junk like you and me and he recycles us and makes us better than we were to start with. Because you see, when we're born into this life, this body starts dying right away. But the soul will never die. Soul will never die. You watch it. You watch it. Now there's that little baby right there. That itty bitty little baby right there, looking at me, got that funny look on her face. Yeah. That little girl, from the moment she was born, started dying. And you watch her when she starts able to walk, when she's first able to start walking, when she's able to start doing things. Within 15 months, she doesn't want anybody doing it for her. She can do it herself. It's amazing to watch children try to act older than they are. Doris, you've been around long enough, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Huh? You watch these children act older or try to act older than they are. And then they kind of get to an age and they kind of level out in that age. And then you turn around and you look at them and say, why don't you act your age? Because they're older, they're trying to act like children. My son comes up to me one day. How old were you? 20 years old or something like that? About 20 years old. He comes up to me one day and he says, Dad, I want to ask you a question. I said, what, Ricky? He says, you keep telling me to grow up. Now, none of you guys have ever heard that before, right? Grow up. He says, you keep telling me to grow up. And I don't know how. And I said, son, let me tell you a secret. If you wait to grow up, it'll never happen. It'll never happen. You will never feel grown up. Unless you're a weirdo. You'll always want to do childish things. I don't know of a man here, and there may be one or two, I may be wrong, but I don't know of a man that would, if he was given his choice of laboring 8-10 hours a day at a job, I don't know a man that would not give it up to go off and do whatever he wanted to do. Whatever it was. If you like sailing, go sailing. If you like flying,